Now I want us to look at prisoners of war, and I want you to listen as I do some reading, and then we will do some preaching, we'll do some talking, and I'll do everything I can to keep from doing the crying. For most all who are knowledgeable of the horrors of war, there are three letters which represent one of the most devastating and horrifying situations of war known to civilized man. Those words are prisoner of war, POW. The magnitude of universal sorrow at the sight and sound of these three letters is superseded only by the notification of the death of a warrior. The scripture is clear in its praise for the ones who are willing to give their freedom and become a POW for their friends. John 15, verse 13. Greater love had no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus goes on to say that, and you are my friends. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. And you are my friends. And he laid down his life for us. I want you to remember something about the warrior. When we hear the words POW, we think of those that are held in cages. Hanoi Hilton, doesn't matter where it was. But are held by the enemy combatants. And they're held prisoner of war. But let me tell you the truth about the matter of war. Every human being that has ever had to be a part of fighting in any war, in any combat area, will remain a prisoner of that war. For within our hearts, within our spirit, those names pop up. We remember the face, the laughter, the fun we had on leave, on liberty, and then the horror of the war that took them from us. We remember. Those are names that are written on inside. Then we come home, and our friends, hopefully and prayerfully, will be brought home, what's left of them. We remember. Do we talk about it a lot? Very seldom. Do we talk about our combat situations? Only with each other. And we do that because we can lie to each other. Because we need to bring down the heat on that combat. Need to bring down the fact that it cried. Need to look deep in the heart of each one of us. Because then we realize we too are prisoners of that war. And we will carry that prisoner status with us in our heart till the day we leave this body. Separate to be with Jesus. Jesus says, I want you to remember, there's greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. How important it is for those names on the wall, those who laid down their life. But I want you to remember, the warriors that you see walking around, part of them's dead. You'll never get it back. We know that. But we continue to go around it. Why? Because we're called by God to be prisoners of war. But prisoners of Jesus in war. We're called, given that calling. You stand for freedom. You stand for what is right. And if you're going to call yourself something, be something. Present yourself to God as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. For he has called us that way. The Apostle Paul was very much aware of the most devastating war which would be waged throughout history. It is the continuing war of all wars, the war of life itself. The Apostle Paul chose to be a prisoner, but not a POW, the enemy of God. Instead, he chose to lay down his life for his friends, and he became a prisoner of Christ in war. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, listen to Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. 2 Timothy 1:8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul said Jesus started it. And let me tell you something, my friends. Jesus will end it. Jesus started the greatest revolution that's ever been known. He presented himself as God incarnate. Well, let's kill his physical body. We'll get rid of this one. You know what Jesus even said? Now you talk, you want a Superman? You want a hero? Jesus Christ is the greatest hero I have. You see, not only did he conquer through giving his life, he conquered my life through giving his life. He conquered the death from the standpoint of, he said this, no one takes my life from me. The scripture tells us that he had legions of angels. God had ready at any second that his son cried out that would have wiped the human race off. But you know what the problem was with those that put him on a cross? They put him on a cross because they hated him. Jesus went to the cross because he loves us. If you're going to call yourself Christian, be a Christian. If you're going to call yourself a heathen, go ahead and be a heathen. Whatever name you give yourself, live up to the name. God focuses on our heart. Jesus loves us. That's how I know that God loves me. Because Jesus was God incarnate. By the way, Larry, I go away. I go away to prepare a place for you. He called each one of us by name. There's that name again. You will be with me. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will return. And I'll take you right back with me. Woo! To your home. I'm preparing for you a dwelling place with me. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ in war. You are too. And we need to understand that. We need to understand it's time that we act by the power of Almighty God. How much power is that? He went to the cross. Do you know they never even broke a bone of his body? Huh? He was taken down. He was put in a tomb. They put the rock and it said, we got him. He's sealed in. You know, he's going to decay in the tomb. They forgot Sunday was a-coming. And Sunday got there. And that stone just was gone. And there was no body. But Jesus talked to him later. Huh? I like that power. I know the one who's in control of life. I know the one who's in control of death. I know the one who is in control of eternal life, and his name is Jesus, and he loves me. And you and I need to get about our Father's business. And we need to put a heart in it. He doesn't need our brains. Gosh. You know, I got so much, many memories in my mind, and not any more than, yeah, probably, more than anybody else, but you think of it. If I was dependent on my mind to get me through a day, instead of grace, I might as well sit down right now. Because that brain is not going to work right. Have you ever noticed your tongue sometimes says stuff? Have you ever thought about when it opens and says stuff, you think, where did that come from? That didn't come from my heart because I really didn't mean it. You see the difference? So therefore, in my relationship with my Lord and Savior, it is my spirit. Oh, I know in my mind that I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. But I know in my spirit and can see in my spirit what Jesus did for me. I never met Jesus personally walking around. I got him in my heart. I will one day. I will. I think that'd be so neat with us walking around with Jesus. Because he says, where I am, you will be also. I prepared it for you. No nation prepared it. A Savior prepared it. All Christians become victims in the war of life. Do we not? How's life treating you? Is life fair? Are you always fair to life? Sadly, many are captured by the enemy and become prisoners of woe. Well, I hear Christians doing that. Woe is me. Well, you sissy Christian, good gracious. Somebody needs to put them in the Marine Corps. Or Army, or Navy, or Air Force. Or Coast Guard. Did I forget any? Am I doing good? Imprisoned in the concentration camps of circumstances, anger, and self-pity. God, why did you let this happen to me? Well, Lord, I've been such a good person, a good Christian. Well, that's a lie right there out of your mouth. Why did you let this happen to me? Self-pity. The Christian shall remain a prisoner of woe until he or she proclaim their freedom in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. You got it? This woe is me stuff doesn't cut it. You're in the army now. You're in the army of God now. March to the beat of your heart, to the beat of your spirit. March to the love of Jesus Christ. A song that'll never grow old. A song that we'll be singing throughout eternity. You just keep marching. But if I keep marching, I'm going to run into the enemy, and the enemy is going to kill me. God tells me that there's no enemy that can overpower you when you're on the journey for him. I believe that. Do we not believe that? Amen. Too often we act as though they are. We allow life to defeat us. The very life that God died for, that we might have peace, joy, and purpose. Every human being has a purpose. Every age group has a purpose. God created us with purpose. He created us to love us. And he created us as the only of his creation to have the ability to love him back. I'm created by God. I refuse to become a prisoner of woe. I will hurt. I will weep. The thoughts will come up of the past. The thoughts of the names of those that we were close with, they will come. But my friends, you and I need to understand something. This war has already been won. Satan does not win. I read the book. You read it. Yeah, go to the last book, Revelation. Jesus wins. And all those who follow him are conquerors. Not only that, Jesus said, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than. What does the more than mean? It means Jesus is saying, you got me on your side. I'm the only army you'll ever need. I love you. But Jesus reminds us, let me tell you what I'll do for you. I will send different spirits in a body, a human body, and those spirits will be there around you. It's called a church, to help you through your human walk, with your human trials, the human tribulations. Because folks, you're going to have them. And if you say, I don't have any problems at all, I need to check your breathing. You're going to continually have them, Jesus says, while you're on earth. There will always be wars and rumors of wars, but don't be afraid, he says, because the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Children will turn on their parents, parents on their children. There will be a time period to when there will be no respect for the family. There will be a time period when all hell will seem to have engulfed your whole family and all those you know. During that period, he says, this is the beginning of sorrow. I tell you, folks, the sorrows have begun. Abortion, infanticide, let the baby be born and kill the baby. Let me tell you, those people who support that and those people who support that are as guilty of murder as the ones who do it. Now you can take that to the bank of heaven. And God is watching. Each life is precious to God. He says, my love is all-encompassing. Those who try to change my word, they will suffer the punishment, very punishment, of the words themselves. God says, you don't take my name in vain. It has nothing to do with your curse words. He says, you don't take my name in vain. Don't you dare use God in a generic fashion. Oh, the gods will watch over. There's not only one God, no God plural. There's one. Oh, you know, well, God told me to tell you this. You better make sure God told you to say that before you open your mouth. Now, you may keep talking, but you'll do nothing but rattle. But God said, with respect, you will serve me. How can I respect God in my service? I will follow his word and his truth and not back down. On thus saith the Lord, no matter what. Never before in our history, any one of us in here, have we witnessed such an assault against the Christian faith. The Christian faith. Oh, we'll accept this church and we won't accept that one. I'm talking about an assault against the Christian faith, against Christ himself. And I'm listening to young people and even older people say, well, no, I didn't mean to offend you. If you are offended, it's not my concern. If I tell you the truth and you take offense to it, study, see why you took offense to it. Because I love you. And I want you to know the truth. Because that truth is the only thing that will set you free. If I don't have peace inside of me, what good's the peace surrounding me? If I cannot look with inside myself and find that I am at peace with my Savior, what good is any other peace you're going to give me, folks? I'll give you your freedom. Well, no, thank you, I already got it. You can kill the body, but I serve the one that not only can kill the body, but cast the soul into hell, he says. John 8, verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Woo! The Son set me free. And you know what he promised? Larry, I'll keep you that way. I'll keep you that way. He chastens me. He corrects me continually. I can always feel the everlasting, ever-loving arms that surround me when I get out of line. And I also can feel it when he puts me in the corner. Gives me a little time out. But do you know one thing I found in life? He does that through pure love. That's the difference. Not out of spite, not out of bitterness, but I love you. Time out, Larry. He grounded me for one solid year because I walked out of a bad situation at a church and he told me to stand the ground and correct it. I didn't. And I was preaching every Sunday somewhere, and he put me in the corner for one solid year. That year ended first Sunday of May, 1994. I was called to Vine Grove Baptist Church as interim pastor. The war was already raging here. Gosh, it had been raging for years. I wasn't leaving alive. What happens? You stand God's ground, not your ground. Don't you worry about your feelings or your emotions. Folks, I remember laying in a field crying and bouncing that I was so broken. I also remember that feeling of on one of those bounces of the hand of God. And, you know, I've always pictured God talking to me like this, and I knew he did it that day. Shut up, Larry. Get up and do what I call you to do. He told that to Joshua. Joshua, get off your knees. You prayed long enough. Well, interrupt my prayer. I'm just getting good at it. You prayed long enough. Sometimes I use it as an excuse not to do anything. I'm not going to do it because I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about really sharing Christ with people. Really? And you call yourself a Christian? We've been told to do that. You don't need to pray about it. Just do it. Here comes Nike again. When we become a victim, then we shall only be a victim until we become the victor. As surely we will. Because Christians are prisoners of Christ in war. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Happy Memorial Day. Remembering the days of those who are ready and willing to stand up knowing that they can lose their life in a heartbeat. One heartbeat away. But they can never lose their spirit. You stand up to fight for your family. For family, period. For the church family. For it is God's will. And only through God's will we survive. But survive we shall. Because I read the book. God said, this is my will. I got you, Larry. Phew. He called us by name. Every one of us, you got that? He called us by name. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift our heart to you. We lift who we are to you, Father. The spirit of the being that you placed within inside of us. Father, we thank you for giving us these human bodies for a period of time that we might be able to serve you. Don't know your plans, Lord, but I know you got them. Don't know why you put us together with the different personalities like you do, but you do. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for every heartbeat of every individual that has stood strong for what is right. Only you can give us that spirit. Only you are our judge. Only you are our Savior. We ask your blessing now as we truly do remember. In Jesus' name, amen.